What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's been a long wait, but this is the Blue Crew and New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my boys, Avery Zaretsky and Cody Frankel. Avery's looking super tan. Cody, you look like a fucking glue stick. And you really let your facial hair grow, huh? Oh. I've never seen your facial hair so long.
What, a glue stick? Man. Oh, Cody just catching strays right off from the gun. It's good to be back,
Cody,
boys.
So long, dude.
I know. It's good to be back. Cody looks like he lives in London.
Plus, we can't really. He's in the Hamptons right now.
Yeah, dude. Go outside. Get a little raise, man. Bro,
it's clearly this on my face. Okay, look.
We can't really see with your shitty connection.
Yeah, with your connection, bro. Spending all that money on the house, not your Wi-Fi. Damn. All right. Well, it's good to be back. It's good to be
Johnny,
back.
Johnny, I feel like it could fly a private jet off your fucking forehead. Look at that shiny thing.
Let's
get all the chirps out of the way. But honestly, while we're chirping, I will say it's nice to have Avery on here after he's been hanging out with Jake Paul and Hawk Tua.
I was going to say, dude, Avery goes to Europe one time.
Yeah. What's your summer been like, Abe? You've been busy.
Yeah, I actually just got back to Miami the other day. I was on the road for almost a month. Probably about 22 days. Went to New York because it was cheaper to fly from New York to Paris. Went to Paris for 5 days. Went to Chicago for a golf outing. And then went to New York for a week because we had our content house. And then Washington, D.C. And then now I'm back.
Where in New York were you for the content house?
It's called, town called, I hope I say this right, Mahopac or Mayopac. I forget how they say it. But there's this company called Wander. They do like these extravagant type experiences where you stay at like a nice house and they do the whole thing. So they set the whole thing up for us. It was an amazing time. Had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you didn't pay.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah. It was a work thing. And I had a lot of fun. I did.
No, it looks awesome. Honestly, it looks like you've had a great summer. And Cody, obviously, you're busy with Griff and Jackie and the family and stuff. Seems like he's really starting to get his personality, huh? He looks so cute.
Yeah, he's the best. I mean, he's unbelievable.
You sound so excited about it.
Yeah,
dude, I just got out of the pool, bro. Dude, threw a shirt on, sick. And here I am.
Dude, pools are sick. Pools are sick. I know. Yeah, been a busy summer for the three of us. Yeah, you do. Again, we want to apologize.
What?
We haven't recorded since like literally July 1st. It's been
Cody's forgetting how to like not talk over people.
Yeah. But you go. What do you want to say?
I don't want to say anything.
All right, we're a little rusty. We're a little rusty, but honestly though, guys, it's been a really weird offseason. Like, for the amount of excitement there was at the end of last year, like leading into this year, it's been so quiet. I can't remember a Ranger offseason that's been as quiet as this one. You know, obviously there was a little noise originally about Trouba and all that stuff going on, but like as far as moves being made and stuff to like look forward to, nothing's really changed. So it's been kind of hard to get on here and really talk about, you know, updated things and what to look for next year, because for the most part, the team is going to look relatively the same. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, right? Like there's not going to be any drastic changes. I know we have a lot of fan questions coming in, but the roster as it's constructed right now, I mean, the lines 1 through 4, like, you know, the only changes I really see are Sam Carrick and Riley Smith. Obviously, you know, we're not going to see Roslovic and Wenberg and the guys that we brought into the deadline, and maybe some call-ups. Like we'll see Brodzinski every now and then. And obviously Gustafson's gone, but for the most part, this is the same exact team as last year. And that, to me, I find that exciting. I know a lot of people are kind of like down on that, but what do you guys think just right now as we record on August 28th, like about this team next year? And then, you know, we'll get into some fan questions.
Why do you find that exciting?
Because they just went to game 6, the Eastern Conference Final, and won the President's Trophy.
Did they win a cup?
No, but I mean, what signs say that they're not going to be good next year after a year like that?
Has nothing.
I don't think Florida got better, like roster wise.
I think I see both sides of the coin, and I agree with Johnny's statement, and I also agree with Cody's statement. I'm not a big participation trophy kind of guy. Like my goal has always been for the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup, and I really believe
that.
But
you don't
last
think they
season.
Can?
I I think they can, but this offseason, like
on paper, they're worse.
Other teams got better. The Rangers kind of just stayed stagnant. And we don't know what's going to happen at the deadline. I feel like that's kind of what they're setting up to, is moves at the deadline to try to bolster their lineup and get better as the season progresses, which they have done in previous years, and it's worked out, and it also hasn't. Like, I just think that it is a little bit upsetting that nothing has really happened. But they can't really do much. Like, you look at next year with Shesterkin and Lafreniere, like, those are two guys you have to re-sign. So they're kind of setting up for that. And
why else can't they do much, Avery?
Well, there's like a lot of bad contracts, but
which one specifically?
Our captain isn't great, but I mean, listen,
you're trying to get him to say Kako.
No. He's actually on a fair deal. I think Cody was okay with that when they resigned.
Yeah.
I think that the Trouba thing, and we were hoping for it last year and it didn't really happen, it was like him to kind of block out the noise and have a better season. I think he did have a better season than past, but it still isn't living up to the contract. And I don't think he really ever will in terms of like the $8 million number. And that's just what we're going to get used to. But who knows, man? It's been a tough offseason for his name and his family with what's happened. And we obviously don't condone anything that anyone ever really said about him, but I think that Trouba will have a good year this year. I do.
All right. I mean, I think they got slightly worse. Personally, I think if you gave us Riley Smith 4 years ago, sure, totally got better. But I mean, to say Riley Smith's better than, you know, a combination of Roz and Wenberg, and, you know, I don't know if I agree. I mean, listen, it's apples to oranges. It's either they got marginally worse or marginally better. I don't think it makes any difference in regular season play. But, you know, come playoff time, do I feel like they're a team who right now generally scares the Florida Panthers? Like, no. I mean, you know, like, yeah, sure, we got to game six of the ECF, but I think we all know it could have easily been a sweep. Like, it could have. So yeah, I think, you know, I mean, Igor played out of his mind. Can he do that again? Kavine? No, I mean, that was absurd. So it just feels like a little upsetting and disappointing that, you know, their move was right. And I love Riley Smith. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great player. I think he would be a great, you know, top six, top nine guy. Do I want him on our first line? Like, no. I mean, it's not who he is anymore. I mean, that, you know, he's not the guy he was 4 or 5 years ago. So it's just kind of, and I get their cap trapped. I think it's just a little tough to eat that pill, knowing that, you know, this is who they're going into the season with. And again, by any means, I don't think it sways the standings. I still think they're going to bully teams. But come playoffs, I mean, we've all seen you need a different type of team. And like, yeah, sure, they can make moves at the playoffs. But I mean, we've seen what's happened in the last 2-3 years. Like, they haven't made the right move in the playoffs yet. Like, they've done enough to be competitive in the playoffs, but they haven't made the guy who's torn it up in playoffs. You know, like, they haven't made that move for that type of guy. And I don't know, like, Drury's great. You know, he's great for the cards he's been dealt, with all the contracts, but like, I don't know if he knows the right guy to trade for and so on. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings going into the season. I still think they're going to be a very good team, top five team. Do I think right now as it stands, like, they can win a cup? Like, I don't think so. I honestly hate to be the guy to say it, but I don't think so.
So even with that, are like, would you both say you're excited or not that excited for the season to start?
I don't know. I kind of, you know,
no, you go. We're probably going to say the same thing.
I just know that Igor is going to get them there. We know we have the guy. Yeah. We have the best goalie in the league. He's going to get them there. I just put so much real estate into last season that I am scared.
It was pretty mentally draining.
I'm tapped. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's not that I'm tapped. I'm just scared. And this offseason, I haven't really thought about the Rangers that much. And it's funny, like, you know, you got AJ and Alex in the office, and they felt the same way for a little bit, but they started to get back into it. And, you know, AJ's working on his next video and it's really good. I saw it today, but I just still haven't really been able to feel that juice I have in the last 25, 26 years of my life. So I think I'll get back into it. I think the big thing, and we're going to talk about it, I'm sure, is it's Sam Rosen's last season. Yeah. So I think that's going to play a big part into it. Somebody who's been in my life, my entire life in terms of the Rangers. So
yeah. And speaking of that, we have an announcement to make. If Sam goes out, we go out. So if the Rangers don't win, this is it for us.
Yep.
You guys decided that?
Cody and I did. Yeah. Just now though. We never texted about it or anything.
Yeah.
We just decided now.
That works.
Yeah. But no, we're just kidding. But I agree. I mean, listen, it's going to be amazing watching. Like, I'm still going to watch every single game because it's Sam's last year.
Once the Yankee season ends, right? You don't watch
once the Yankee until the season ends, for sure. but, you know, I mean, it's Lof is something that's getting me excited for the year, knowing his breakout season last year. Like, I think he really takes it to another level this season. But similar to Avery, I put so much into last season, like regular season included, and, you know, watching my teams like consistently be competitive in the Yankees and the Rangers, but consistently coming up short. Like, I'm kind of going into the mentality with it, even how I did this Yankee season. Like, I just don't care until playoffs. Like, yeah, like make it there.
I hate that.
Here's the thing. I'm watching all the games. I'm watching all the games, but to like mentally drain myself for like a 3-2 loss against a team in a regular season game is just beyond me at this point, because it's like, it doesn't fucking matter. It's like, cause if you told me like the Rangers went 7-0 against the Panthers in the regular season and then got buried to them like that, like, you know what I mean? Like it just, I don't know. I mean, I need to see, like, what I'm looking for in the regular season, I think, at this point is what kind of identity and what kind of team they are. And, like, seeing, you know, the Rangers, well,
we
right?
We found that out, I think. We know that from last year.
But, like, yes and no, because, like, Igor took it to another level that we didn't know he had, and Lof took it to another level, and I think they're both...
And Trocheck.
I mean, dude, Panarin, but I'm talking about in playoffs. I'm not talking about Panarin. Certainly didn't take it to another level in playoffs. Let's set that record straight.
I was talking regular season.
No, I think Lof, Igor, Trocheck, like all those guys were fantastic come playoffs. But like it's the same thing every year, right? Like Mika was streaky and then went missing, and Panarin didn't do what he should do. And, you know, they fell a little short. So I like what I want to see is I want to see a different type of mentality and a different type of team. Like, I don't know if grit's the word, but we need that toughness. If the Rangers don't have that toughness, like throughout this season, I just don't know if they're going to get it done. Like they need a team of grinders is what they need. I don't know.
No one was fucking beating Florida last year. Nobody was.
But I want to be that team that nobody's beating. I know. That's the thing. I know you want to be that nobody's beating.
I'm aware of that, but you also have to set like realistic expectations too. And when you say I don't care about the regular
season, I just said they can't win the cup as it stands.
But I'm saying when you say I don't care about the regular season, all I care about now is what they do. What? You just said you not just say that?
I don't care. I care about the team. I don't care about the regular season games. Like I'm not going to work. What I mean by that is I'm no, but what I'm saying is I'm not going to get myself all worked up over a 4-1 loss against the Oilers in fucking November is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. I respect that, but I feel like a lot of people also, at least that I've seen and have talked to this summer, have that same mentality. But to me, like the Rangers right now that we've known and like grown to love and even hate over the last like 4 years, this next season is like the last Ranger team, you know, of that little mini window era that we'll like probably ever see again. Like they're going to look a lot different and sound a lot different. That's for sure. In 25, 26, you know, like
will they though, because they still have Panarin. They still have everybody.
Yeah. But it's, you know, Igor's new contract kicks in, you know, Trouba might get traded or whatever. Keandre Miller is an RFA. Lindgren's a UFA. Jimmy Vesey's a UFA. Who else is there? Like, Panarin only has 1 year left. You know, it'll be a contract year for Panarin. You know, there are things that are just going to, there's going to be decisions that need to be made like next summer, this time next year. You know, Kako, another RFA again. That this team could look very different, I feel like, after this year. And, you know, I said sound different, obviously, because it won't be Sam Rosen doing the call. Like, to me, I just think this is Perreault a year that. Up. What's up?
Perreault will be up.
Perreault, like, I don't know. I think this is like almost not like a last kick at the can, but the Ranger team, like, as we know it, like I said, since like, you know, 2020, 2021 or whatever, it just might look different, I feel like, next year, or it might feel different next year. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of moves to be made next summer that couldn't have been made this summer. And I think it might just look and feel different after this year. And I think people should just like embrace this year.
I just want to see.
All right, Mr. Optimism.
I just listen. Like, I know that fans right now, and I get it, Avery. I don't mean to cut you off. Like, I fucking felt
Avery.
The life got sucked. No, like the life got sucked out of me. Like, I felt that way after the end of the season. Like, you guys know me. Like, I haven't really been active that much in our group chat about the Rangers and about hockey. Like, it was a lot. It was, like you said, it was taxing.
You save it all,
like,
for Twitter, bro.
Well, no, I haven't even, I feel like, been tweeting about the Rangers that much, like, this summer. I feel like, no, have I? Not as much as previous summers.
That's true.
I mean, last summer it was all like Lafreniere, like sink or swim, like now's the time, do or die, like all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, this year there's none of that, really. You know, there hasn't been like we need this guy to do this or that guy to do that. It's just like, you know,
it's because everybody feels the same way. I mean, yeah. everybody feels like the team. Like, I thought last year was the team. I was like,
yeah, everyone,
this
I think
is
everyone
the
did.
Fucking team to do it. Don't even care that they won the President's Trophy. This is the team to do it. I mean, I think, you know, Florida showed they can do it, right? Because they made it to the Cup the year before, and then they won it. And I think, I don't know. I mean, I still think if the Rangers played Edmonton, we would have beat them. Like, which just sucks. So it's like, you know, the fact of the matter is this Florida team's the same. So how do you get Pat? I mean, what do you mean not really?
Lost Montour, Ekman Larson. Who else?
I mean, they're basically the same. Montour hurts, but I wouldn't say OEL hurts that much, but that's fine.
Who else?
They re-signed Reinhardt.
They got Nate
Schmidt. I mean, they're the same. They're the same. Like, and didn't they get a defenseman? Didn't they get a good defenseman in place?
Nate Schmidt.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's the same team one way or another. And I think, you know, they're still,
but everything has to go right. Everything has to go right. You know,
for us to,
yeah, I agree. Avery, what were you going to say? We cut
more,
you off.
More than everything has to go right for us.
Yeah.
I just want to see Panarin get a cup, man.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. And this like,
I want to see Kreider get a cup.
This could be his last season as a Ranger.
Well, he has one more year on his deal.
Yeah, but
trade.
Like,
I don't know if anyone will trade for him. We'll see. But I know Cody has a hard off here in like 15, 20 minutes. So let's get into some fan questions. And we'll start with, this is a chirp from KP7386. Is Avery too cool now? We don't need to answer that one, but it's funny to read it out loud.
What did you make a burner or something?
His head's blowing up.
I didn't. Logan M underscore 17.
Next question. Does Jake hate AJ and Alex? Like, I feel like he does.
No, they just work on the product side. You're just saying that. I just work very close to you, man. Relax.
First question. Logan M underscore 17. Do we need any more pieces for another run, or is everything in place? Definitely need one or two more pieces, I would say.
Yeah.
Also, just because of the uncertainty right now with Filip Hedl, right? Like, no one knows if he's going to be healthy for the full year.
I mean, give Othman a chance. Like, I feel like he's getting buried a little bit. Like,
the question. Yeah, let me shout out the person who asked about Othman. Okay, so Connor Malini. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Othman making the roster? ? I don't think he's on the opening night roster. I don't.
I don't either. And it's a shame because it's like the kid's proved himself in the AHL. You gave him 4 games and send him down. Like, I don't know what that does to somebody's confidence if he's doing all the right things and still can't get the call up. Like, it's just like this team has continuously ruined prospects like in the past by doing this. And I feel like it's just not a good, like, you got to just call him up. You got to give him a shot. I really
think you got to give him a shot. Where are you putting him?
Throw him on the top nine. Don't care. Don't care.
So you're putting him in over, all right, right now, as Kako? Daily Faceoff has it.
I'm over Kako. Him in over Kako all day, any day, all day, any day.
Avery?
Also, well, his upside higher than Cooley's. Like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it is tough to just throw a guy in who really hasn't seen that much NHL action, but I don't hate the idea of having him on the team for a while. I think he's going to either be on the playoff roster or he's going to get his ELC games in this year. Like, I don't see why not, but yeah, I don't know. Top nines. I don't know.
I feel like he can easily be on the third line. And he's a goal scorer. And if he ends up tearing it up like he's supposed to, takes Riley Smith's spot, and Riley Smith goes on the second or third line like he should.
I'm going to say that I want him to make the team. I just don't. I don't know if he just fits it right now. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, agree with that guy.
I don't think
you're pointing to me, bro.
No, I'm not.
You're still pointing to me, bro.
Like, I think we all want to see Othman in the lineup. I think every Ranger fan kind of feels that way and feels the same. And, you know, who knows? I don't know how attached Laviolette is to Kaapo Kakko. Like, maybe he does find that role. And maybe even, you know what, maybe even Kakko has a stronger training camp and a better start to the year, and he gets Riley Smith's spot in the first line again. Like, you know, they tried it out a million times, but maybe after, you know, one more year of figuring it out, Kakko can. I don't know.
You know.
Well, I mean, listen, last year I thought Kakko was going to be better than Lafreniere, and Lafreniere took off. Like, not going to sleep on I'm not going to sleep. Sleep is the wrong word, because I've been
down. Say how you really feel, bro.
I've been down on Kakko for a while. No, I'm just hopeful, because I really do like the guy. I like him a lot. He's always been great to talk to. And quite frankly, I'm rooting for him a lot. Like, I want to see Kaapo Kakko succeed. But again, like, you want to see Othman succeed too, right? Like, that's more. The hard part about being a sports fan. It's tough decisions. And that's what, you know, the coach's job makes it so hard, is putting the right guys in the right spots and, you know, trying to manage feelings and manage expectations and all these different things. Like, Othman right now has been talked about for 2 years, and he still, you know, is not a consistent guy in the lineup. And that's got to be a little concerning, right? Like, again, we're going to have the conversation a million times too. Lafreniere certainly earned a spot on the top unit, but who are you taking off? I don't know who to take off. There's no one I could really think of to take off, because that power play has been the fucking third best power play, top three power play for the last 2 years. Like, does Lafreniere make them the best power play? I don't know. You know, are they worse? These are things you don't know. What don't fix what's not broken, right?
Yeah.
But then again, they have won the cup, so it is kind of broken. Like, all these things are tough. All right, we'll do a different one. DePappy, who has the best and worst jerseys in the NHL? I'll go first on this one. I love the and we'll go Rangers aside, because obviously we'd probably pick the Rangers. My favorite jersey in the NHL is the Montreal Canadiens. I love their uniforms. Big fan of red, white, and blue. That's why I love the Ranger fan, love the Ranger jersey so much. So I'll go with the Canadiens, and then I actually don't love the Anaheim Ducks jerseys, to be honest. I'm going to put them as my worst. I don't love them. I don't love the orange. I don't love the new jerseys. Yeah, I don't love it. You're
out of your fucking mind.
Maybe I need to see it in person and decide, but from what I've seen right now, I don't like it. I don't like it.
That's great.
I'll go. It's pretty easy for me. If it's not the Rangers, it's the Blackhawks, and the worst are the Dallas Stars. I hate that neon shit.
The neon shit is horrible. I agree.
Awful.
I don't like the neon one.
I was gonna say the Hawks too, but I'm gonna do a different one just because Avery said that. I'm gonna go with the Calgary Flames. I think their jerseys are sick.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah,
I hate those ones. I hate them.
I hate you. The black ones, dude. The black ones are so sick. And then for the or I'll go with the Kraken, because I think theirs are so sick too. Worst. Shit. I had one in mind and I just forgot it. Fuck. Let me come back to me in a minute.
Okay. Pete Dempsey.
I agree.
Huh?
I said, yeah. Stars are terrible, though. I agree.
I read the one about Avery, so I'll read the one about me. Pete Dempsey, why does Johnny suck? You guys met him, I think, at the stadium series. Great guy. Loyal listener. Here's a good one. Shane Bullen, what's one move you wish we would have made, whether it be someone coming in or out? You guys know mine, I feel like.
Also, I'm going to go with the Flyers. There's fucking suck. There's our trash.
Okay. Fair.
My move coming in or out still sticks to last year's deadline. I wanted Frank Vatrano. Love Frank. He loves New York. He wants to be in New York or Anaheim. He loves Anaheim too. But he fit on that top line with Kreider and Zibanejad. He proved it. He is the only guy since Buchnevich has proven it. And I would have loved him to be here, for him to be here. 30 goal scorer in the NHL.
Does it have to be a deadline move or just like a move right
now?
No,
just in general, I think. Like a realistic move. Obviously, you could say McDavid, but like, you know, it's not realistic.
Brady Tkachuk 10 out of 10 times.
I don't know if that's realistic. I don't know if that counts as realistic. Those were just false rumors.
Then they should have traded for Matthew Tkachuk instead of the Panthers.
Avery, can you give us something that makes sense?
You mentioned his name. I guess Booch, maybe?
Oh, Booch. Yeah, Booch.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I don't know if that's like completely realistic because I think they've like said multiple times that they aren't trading him, but his name kept popping up. So yeah, I mean, the KZB line was insane. It is really crazy to think that there was a point in time where we had KZB and Panarin. Like,
yeah,
that Rangers roster was sick. Imagine just adding like Trocheck to that and Lafreniere.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, it'd be sick. And like Kane and Tereshenko. Yeah. Right, next one, Richie DiPresso, I think. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Top three players who need to have the biggest impact this season. I'd say Mika, Kaapo Kakko, and Hedl.
Interesting.
I guess it's like the question, like which three players need to just improve from last year or maybe step up more from last year?
What's the deal with Hedl? I guess
sounds like he's fine. I mean, I haven't heard anything negative about him this summer. So yeah, it sounds like he's gonna come in healthy and be ready to play. Good.
I hope so. We need him. Yeah. We need him. We need him at full strength. Like he was
bad.
He's obviously a key player for us. Yeah, I think those, and I'd probably add Trouba to that list.
Trouba's my number one for sure.
Those four for sure.
Kakko, Trouba, and I would love Keandre Miller to take it to the next level. He had a rough playoffs, I think.
I would say, Kakko. I mean, Kakko's got to be the biggest one, right? Like, he has to be.
Well, Trouba, too. Both of them.
You know what, man? I'm starting to think, like, I'm starting to think that, like, we're talking about experience.
Good team.
It's just like, on paper, the Rangers are such a good team, and now they just got another full year of experience. They went deep. Like, maybe they can just go back and actually win this time.
Oh God, dude, don't suck me in, bro. I'm not ready.
Yeah, no, I'm slowly like the meter.
That's what I was saying before.
From the start of this podcast, it was like it was like very low, and now it's like slowly coming back.
Yeah, that's what I tried saying in the beginning. Like there's really no like Cody. You said this team got worse on paper. I don't think there's
no. I said marginally worse. Okay, I said marginally. Worse, marginally. Do you know
I really
that
don't
means?
See any difference.
Adam Fox was hurt. Keandre Miller gets another year on his belt. Like,
I mean, Adam Fox was for sure. The fact that they came out and said this guy had like a strained calf or something, I'm convinced he like lost his like right toe or something like that. Like, I don't believe that shit for a second. Okay,
like that was not Adam Fox.
Yeah,
we've been watching him for years now. That was not him. So I'm excited to get him back.
Can Trouba just start hitting again and make me happy again? Like, he didn't hit anybody last year.
He tried in game six and missed two guys and they came down and scored.
Yeah, well, he needs to be better at that.
All right. This one's interesting because it's not really about the Rangers. Sorkin Matthew 10. Do you think Adam Fox is on the first power play unit for Team USA or does it go to Quinn Hughes?
It should
that's
be
a really,
Adam
That's
Fox.
A really good I honestly, I think it's going to be Quinn. I think it's going to be Quinn.
What's your reasoning?
I think Quinn moves the blue line better. His lateral movement, his hips, he's more of a shooting threat, I think, than Adam is. I think Quinn and Adam are obviously similar players, but Quinn just does everything a little bit at a faster pace.
Adam's older, though, right?
But Adam's better.
I think they're like literally the same type of player.
But Adam's older, right? Ben.
I think they're the same age. Adam might be a year older.
Then I would defer to him. I say they probably would go veteran like status over that.
I don't know. I mean,
that's
listen,
not the bias because I think Quinn Hughes is a great player, but
sick. Imagine they were both on the Rangers.
Not many defensemen can walk. I think as far as walking the blue line goes, it's Quinn and Makar. Like they're at their own level. Like Adam obviously can create and, you know, find the extra seam pass or have that little extra patience up top. But when it comes to snapping the puck around and moving as quickly as, you know, a defenseman needs to on a power play, Quinn is, you know, easily top two in that regard, I would say.
All right.
There's no wrong choice. No wrong choice. Yeah, I love that question. Here's an interesting one. Benjamin Eppel, best and worst case scenario for Panarin. And best case scenario, 100 points again and does well in the playoffs, I feel like, right?
And,
like
and they win the cup.
That's the obvious answer, right?
Worst case scenario.
Best case scenario for Panarin is doing the same exact thing he did last year, just playing better in the playoffs.
Worst case scenario is he gets hurt.
Or like doesn't
plays,
produce.
Yeah, like plays the same. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Doesn't produce at all.
This is interesting. Fill in the blank. This is Connor Haggerty. Fill in the blank. If blank, the NYR will win the 2025 Stanley Cup.
If Lauf has 100 points and tears it up in the playoffs.
If Mika Zibanejad.
Oh, no, you full, took it from me.
Full confidence. Yeah, full confidence. The Rangers will win the Stanley Cup. I mean, I think Mika Zibanejad again. I'm going to say 35 goals this year. I think he finds it back this year. I really think he'll have a good season.
Dude, what was his deal last year? He was just tired from having a kid. I fucking did it, bro.
Honestly, though, I do think there is some
maybe
real life stuff with that. Like first year being a father, no like yeah, it's no gotta shit. Be an adjustment, right?
It sure is.
Yeah, but plenty of players have done it. I'm not gonna give him that excuse, yeah, but that was my pick as well. Mika Zibanejad needs to be like the guy in the playoffs for the Rangers. Like he can't go zero dark 30 on us.
Dude, he went negative dark 30.
All right, next one. Pat Petronsky, what's one stat that is for sure to happen and one hot take stat? I'm going to say Kreider 30 goals for sure. Right?
Okay.
Yep.
Kreider 30 goals for sure. Okay. And one hot take stat is Lafreniere 70 points.
Okay.
All right. I will go Adam Fox 70 points. I think he'll get over
that's
that.
For sure. No problem. You're saying that's your for
yep.
sure?
For yeah, sure. Yep. Mm-hmm. No problem. I almost said 80. I honestly think 80. I just don't know how he's going to look after the injury, but I'm assuming he'll be great. And then bold take, Kaapo Kakko scores 20 goals.
Okay, that's definitely a hot take.
Yeah. How many did he have last year? Like 7?
Couldn't have been many. I don't have it in front of me.
I'm going to guess 9.
I'll guess. Yeah, I like to guess 9. So I'll go middle and I'll guess like 8. Let me check. Kaapo Kakko last year. Had one second. I mean, he was also hurt for a lot of the year. Kaapo Kakko had, he had 13 goals. Damn.
Whoa.
Not giving him any credit.
Wow.
Okay. See, so 20 is not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Not crazy. 13 goals in 61 games.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's my guy. Sorry, bro. I underestimated you.
Okay. I didn't go yet. Mine's going to be. My for sure to happen is Trouba won't eclipse 30 points. Okay. And no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Last year at 22
is I think Panarin will get 30 goals. And my hopeful is Riley Smith gets 30 goals.
Okay. This one's tough. With Sam Rosen. Oh, this is Mike _D92. With Sam Rosen retiring, what's your most underrated call by him?
Oh, I mean,
one game
where I think Derek Stepan scored an overtime goal in the regular season. It was like a backdoor open net tap in. I don't remember what the call was exactly, but I remember being so fucking hyped up about that. And I'll have to I'll get that goal and plug it in here. But I remember that being a pretty good call. I think I'm going to go with that one. I don't have it off the top of my head. It's a really tough question to answer off the top of your head, but I'm saying
it's funny because so many of them, they're all so properly rated. Like, I don't even know if there's really an underrated Sam call.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could just be any really good comeback whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Mika 5-goal game, you know,
the 2022 Rangers Oilers game where we were down by 4 goals and came back and beat them
on the road.
That game was sick. I remember Sam called that game, and that game was crazy.
That game was sick. All right. This is interesting. This is from Lauren Khaleesi. What was your favorite thing you guys did this summer?
Went to Paris.
God,
it's so weird to say calling it summer because it's the same all year round here. So I don't even think of it.
Dude, Miami's so fucking sick.
I don't think of seasons anymore. I really don't. It's crazy.
That was crazy brag. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
Just kidding. Honestly, probably this week. I took off this week and I'm just chilling in the Hamptons. It's great.
Nice.
How about you, John?
Mine's gonna be a brag. It's not. I guess, do you count September as the summer?
No,
not really.
Because it's not the summer. And it's also not even September yet, bro.
No, but I'm in 2 weeks, I'm going to Player Media Tour to do all my skating interviews. That'd be cool.
But that didn't happen yet.
Well, it's going to happen. All right.
Wow, I miss you.
Yeah, coolest thing I did this summer. Go with a cheesy answer. Honestly, I was a groomsman in one of my best friend's weddings. It was a great time.
That's fine.
That was fun. In Chicago. I love Chicago. That was fun. Great weekend. All right. This one's from Joe Barone, 28. Over or under 50 wins this season?
What did we have last year? 54?
54, I believe.
54. Wow. Good memory. I'm going to say under.
Isn't it crazy? All stats from last year. Oh, we had 55. All stats from last year just go out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say 47.
Okay. Ave.
This is a tough one. I don't see them going back to back President's Trophies.
No. I think they'll win the division, though.
Yeah. I'm going to say.
The Metro, you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to say they're going to. I'm going to say they're going to get 50 on the dot.
I actually was going to say that, too. I was going to say 50 on the dot as well.
I like that number. Because I don't see them getting. I don't see them as I see Sam Rosen saying 50.
Mm hmm. All right, B Koch 32. What player are you most excited to see take the next step this season? I have mine.
Keandre Miller. I think he's in his walk year, right? He needs a contract next year. And I think he has all the tangibles to be this skillful elite defenseman. And I think sometimes we see it and then sometimes we don't. And I think this is the year that he can really put it all together and give us that sturdy, third, fourth defenseman that we really need. So
there's a 70% chance I'm going to take Johnny's and I'm going to say Will Cooley.
Oh, no, that wasn't mine, but that's a good one. That is a good one. Mine was more personal. Mine is Zach Jones.
I love Zach Jones. Yeah.
I hope he plays.
I'm praying he is the sixth defenseman. I mean, he has to be, right?
He's slotted in right now. He should be.
Just trade him. If not, it's not right.
I'm definitely pumped for Jonesy to have his shot. It's been 3 years, so hopefully
four, dude.
Deserves it, man.
He can make the most of it. But yeah, Cooley is a good one too, I think. I think all three of those are good ones. Hopefully they all get more opportunity.
Avery, what do you consider as the next step for Will Cooley?
This was his rookie year. I mean,
I'm
asking, what do you consider as the next step? What are you looking forward to?
I think getting moving around more in the lineup, finding, maybe he gets called up to the first line couple games, maybe he gets 30 points, does something crazy. I just want to see him elevate his game to the next level.
Yeah,
pretty damn good rookie year.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go the last one. Noah Bevorin, do you guys think the Rangers will ever get over the hump with this same core? And we're calling, let's call the core Mika, Fox, Shesterkin, Panarin, Kreider, those five.
Yeah. Also, sorry, I also, one other guy I would like to see elevate his game is Matt Rempe. Put some skill to the name and
yeah.
Let's see what's up.
He's going to be there, so
that's fair.
I'd love that.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think they. I'm starting to believe again, Johnny. So sure, let's go with
total 180 this episode. He started off like in a dark dungeon, and well, now I see light peeking through his windows. I see light glistening in his eyes. He's coming alive again.
Yeah, you know they want it so bad, and coming back from last year, same team, same group. They got the chemistry. Like it makes sense to
trust
believe
the coaching staff. You know?
Yeah, so let's go for it again, man. Let's start the
oh,
Cody.
Fuck.
Come on, I'm
oh,
roping
fuck.
You.
You're sucking me in.
Yeah, Cody, I got the rope, bro. I'm just pulling you back.
No, but when you really do sit down and think about it, like there's no reason not to think this won't be a good team.
Nobody's saying it's not going to be a good team. They're going to be a very good team.
You've been saying that. I feel like
no,
I wouldn't say there's no reason, but there's definitely like there's some reason to. Why they might not do it.
They have
but,
six or seven great players on their team. They're obviously going to be a playoff team. Like, it's a no-brainer. But being a playoff team and being a cup-level team are two completely different things, okay? Like, think about the fucking Penguins the last 10 years
okay,
before they...
You said before they could have beaten the Oilers and won the cup, right? You said that?
I said last year they could have beaten the Oilers... Yeah. And they lost the Panthers, yes.
So what is so different about this team right now that makes you think they couldn't do that again? They were two wins away.
Because they couldn't beat the Panthers, and knowing the Panthers are still in our division, and knowing that, you know, yes.
Panthers are not in our division.
No, I mean they're conference. In our conference. Yeah. Okay. They're in our. We have to go through the Panthers before we can make the cup.
What if someone knocks them out?
Ain't nobody knocking those guys out. They're just not doing it. They steamrolled everybody.
Avery?
We're winning the Stanley Cup. I'm back.
All right.
Fucking got his Matrix shades on. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, could they do it if everything goes right? Yes. Do we need everything to go right just one time? Yes.
That's all you need. That's what everybody needs.
So the answer is
think about Florida
maybe.
2 years ago.
Okay, I'm in.
All right, good. We're back in.
Cup season, baby. Let's go.
Okay. Let's go. We're back.
Before we do kind of wrap it up, I just want to give a quick shout out. We're going to have a friend of the show, Sarah Levine, join shortly here. Her dad ran the Truba art exhibit in New York City, and we want to have her come on and talk about it. Very cool experience for her. Very cool experience for the fans that were able to attend. So we will kick it over to her shortly, but we probably won't talk to you guys again until like training camp starts, right? Like I imagine there's not much else to talk about. Cody, you have a thought?
Probably not, but I also wanted to give a shout out as well.
Yeah.
And Johnny, I think you're skating with this guy, but Lawrence reached out to me. Lawrence Sprung.
Larry. Yeah.
Well, Larry, Lawrence. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the same things. And no, Larry's a great guy. Reached out to me and, you know, he's skating with his son. I think Johnny, you're skating
I'm
with him
on their team. Yeah, Saturday.
That's great. I love that. But they are skating for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And, you know, every dollar they raise is going to get matched. So, you know, we can definitely Instagram story or tweet or whatever the link. And definitely, you know, donate if you can.
I've been posting it on mine, but I'll throw it on the Blue Crew page as well. Saturday, 24-hour marathon, playing like 8 games in 24 hours. And my games are 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 9 p.m., 1 a.m., 4 a.m., 7 a.m. Crazy
How
day.
Are you going to play it? Well, you're kind of an insomniac.
It's also Saturday.
Playing at 4 a.m. is crazy, dude.
I can do that. I'm beast, dude. Avery, anything you want to shout out?
Nah, man. Shout out life. Life is good, man.
Life Avery's back. Avery's back.
Dude, he's changed so much. He's changed so much.
Oh my God. Who even are you, Avery?
I'm a guy who believes the Rangers are going to win the cup again.
All right.
All right. You're getting me on it. You're getting me on it. The second I see some merch drop, I'm going to be like, I'm going to get hyped.
Great to catch up. I guess with that said, let's kick it over to Sarah Levine. Now going to bring on a first-time podcaster, a newer old friend of mine. We met a couple years ago at anyone who listens to the show knows my favorite place in the world is Stephen's Talkhouse in Amagansett. Huge Ranger fan, loyal listener to the Blue Crew, my friend Sarah Levine. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for bringing me on, Johnny. I'm excited.
Are you nervous or what?
Definitely a little nervous. First time doing a podcast, but feeling excited to talk Rangers.
Okay, so I explained it a little bit before you hopped on in the show. Not the only reason, but the main reason why we're having you on here is because your father, Harper, threw the Landing My Mark, is what it was called, right? Jacob Truba's art gallery show for 23 days in August. You got to basically organize that and set that up with your dad and with Jacob Truba.
Yes.
So I want to hear how that whole thing went down, how you got in touch with Jacob and all that stuff, honestly, because I think, you know, for the most part, a lot of Ranger fans have seen it and have heard about it, but I don't know if everyone really knows about it to its core. So please tell us the story.
Yeah, of course. Well, again, so excited to be on the show and excited to be talking about this. The story itself is very interesting. So I, as Johnny, as you mentioned, am a loyal Rangers fan. Mm-hmm. I, for the most part, have watched every game for the past 10 years. Like, I really make sure I come home from work, put on the game. And I was listening to Sam Rosen. I think this was in December. He was broadcasting the game. And I kind of overheard him say Jacob Truba in art. And I thought I had, you know, misheard him. I was so confused as to how Jacob Truba and art can be related. And I kind of listened to him continue to talk. He was talking about how Jacob Truba has an art Instagram and how he's an artist. And immediately, like, that perked my attention because my dad has an art gallery. I'm not, like, affiliated directly to the gallery, but I love art. And whenever I kind of find a cool new artist, I let my dad know. And this just felt, you know, like a natural synergy because we're, you know, big Rangers fans in the family. And
did you get a finder's fee for this?
No commission, no finder's fee.
We'll have to negotiate that.
I know. But so I went on Instagram, which is where a lot of, you know, contemporary artists post their art. And I just looked up Jacob Truba art. And I found out that Jacob Truba actually had a full art account where he was posting the art that he was making. And it was actually really good. I was skeptical at first. And I started looking at the composition of the art and found it really interesting. So for those of you who aren't familiar with how he creates the art, and I definitely recommend that you go look at Jacob Truba art on Instagram and kind of see how he creates the art. But he basically puts his hockey gear on, covers himself in paint, and then hits the canvas like he would, you know, hit a hockey player.
Mm-hmm. And it is a really cool idea, honestly. Like, the first time I saw it, I did find it. I mean, hockey, like, some people might call it an art. So, like, to make it actually into an art.
Totally. You know, yeah. No, cool. It's definitely interesting. So I saw this, thought it was cool. And I have the screenshot of the text that I sent my dad, but I texted him and I was like, you're never going to believe this. Jacob Truba is an artist and he's actually like a cool artist. You have to check it out. And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's so random. And he looked on Instagram and he found the account and he was like, wait, this is so sick. Like, I'm going to DM him and see what happens. So he just DM'd Truba. Truba responded the next day and was like, I'm actually, you know, I've heard of the gallery. This is so cool. You know, would love to kind of meet you.
How long is the gallery? And excuse me for continuing to interrupt, but I have follow-up questions. How long has the gallery been around, or how long has your dad owned it?
Yeah. So my dad started the gallery in 1998, I want to say. Before I was born. It started out as a rare bookstore. So he was selling like first editions of books, and then kind of slowly morphed into art. So he sells primarily like contemporary art.
And is the Instagram the gallery's Instagram or your dad's personal?
Yeah, it's kind of a hybrid. The Instagram is just Harper's Books. So if you're
we'll plug that. Yeah.
But so him and Jacob kind of started this dialogue on Instagram DM. And I always tell people, like, you know, if you want to shoot your shot with whoever on Instagram, like, definitely do it. My dad obviously didn't know Jacob, sent him a DM. He responded right away. And they scheduled what in the art world you call a studio visit. And my dad went and he met Jacob and immediately they just hit it off. Like, the one thing I'll say about Jacob is he is such a leader on and off the ice. Like, he presents so well. You know, my dad said he talked about the art in like a really sophisticated way. Mm-hmm. He was super passionate about it and is just like a great guy. So they hit it off. He saw the art and he was like, this is sick. Let's do a show. Jacob agreed, and one thing led to another, and they did the art opening August 1st of this year, and the show was up, like you said, until just a few days ago in Chelsea.
23rd, right?
Yeah. Good enough.
You know, this art, obviously, also what it represents is not only just art. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but Truba also does it for, you know, making a positive impact to the epilepsy community, and it's all for, you know, the Garden of Dreams Foundation, right? Which is what the money goes towards.
Yeah.
Did he explain why epilepsy?
Yes. So I think it is his wife who suffers from epilepsy or someone in his family. And I think he's passionate about it. His wife is a doctor herself, right? And I think, you know, a lot of times artists, you know, on or off the ice, as in the case with Jacob, find art as, you know, a way to just express themselves and to give back to a community that they're passionate about. So Jacob, before he did the show in Chelsea, was selling prints of his artwork, which is basically, you know, just like a smaller print of the actual canvas. And the proceeds from the prints were going to the Epilepsy Foundation. So he was giving, you know, the money to charity and, you know, doing great things, which I think is important. I think, you know, when we talk about hockey players, and so often on the podcast, right, we talk about how important it is for the Rangers to win the cup. And as a lifelong Rangers fan, like, that's what I care about. I want the Rangers to win the cup.
I mean, everyone does. Yeah. we just spent the first 40 minutes of this show trying to figure out if we think they can or not.
I mean, I thought they were going to win last year.
Everyone.
So I was so disappointed. I remember listening to you guys and you were talking about, you know, during the Florida series, like, Florida's good, don't underestimate, but we got it. And I felt so confident. So, you know, I don't even want to say anything going into this year because who knows. But I think thinking about the players as also people, right? Like, Jacob has this passion of his, which is creating art. He is really interested in giving back to the community through the Epilepsy Foundation, and the proceeds of the prints go into the Epilepsy Foundation. So thinking about players as real people who have real interests and real families, you know, I played hockey. Johnny, I know you played hockey. I think like there's more to you and I than just being a hockey player. And I think it's important that we kind of recognize that for professional athletes as well.
100%. And to that also, have you spoken to Truba at all? Like, did you, like, as far as this process went, like, were you helping create the setup, what it looked like? And, did you talk to him just like one-on-one as a person?
Totally. So I was pretty uninvolved in the actual setting up of the gallery. I, you know, work in a different industry, have a different job, and am not really affiliated with the gallery besides just the fact that my dad and I are close and I kind of help him discover some artists if I see them on Instagram or hear Sam Rosen talking about them in this case. But at the actual opening, Truba had a, you know, prior event before the actual opening on the first started. The opening is 6 to 8. And for those who kind of don't know how art openings work, they're totally free events that are open to the public. And they're normally attended by the gallery host and the artist. And so Truba was there. His son was there. His parents were there. It was like a whole family event. And before the opening started at 6, he and, you know, one of his sponsors had an event before. And I got to kind of pull him aside and talk to him. Ironically, we were matching. I don't know. On my Instagram, we were wearing both black and khaki. Like, literally, it looked like we had color coordinated our outfits, which was a coincidence. But I got to talk to him. My dad had made him aware that, you know, I was the one who actually discovered the account through Sam Rosen. And so we had a great back and forth about, you know, how I should be making some commission from the art.
Yep.
Even though I'm not, and, you know, he thanked me for giving him the opportunity. I think the biggest takeaway I had from talking with him was just his character. He was so excited to be there. He was so earnest about the experience. Mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, obviously he's the captain of the Rangers and a professional athlete, but he had a real beginner's mindset to the art world. Never having had a show before.
I don't know shit about art, to be honest. So like, yeah, I haven't asked any like art intrusive questions.
But I thought, you know, he was just so excited about it. He was patient. Obviously I was like nervous to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And there were fans who were there. He was, you know, signing jerseys, super excited to talk to anyone who came in, and was just a great guy. So I was, you know, couldn't have been happier with how the night turned out. I was telling everyone like top 10 nights. I went back to the show multiple times after the actual opening closed and just loved it.
I know you told me a lot of, you know, I don't know, famous people or different kinds of people were coming in and out. Yeah. Anyone you got to meet or hang out with?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know if people love to name drop, but this is your chance. We're allowed.
So there are a few people who I won't name drop, but, you know, finance executives who you guys would definitely recognize if I said the name, but I won't go any further. Jennifer Fisher was there. I don't know if you know Jennifer Fisher. She's an influencer and a famous jewelry designer.
I was thinking, that's not Pam in The Office. That's what's her name? It is Fisher, though, I think.
I think so, yeah.
All right, sorry, continue.
She's a famous influencer. I love her content. And then I would say the most, oh my God, the guy, Cal Penn was there.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah, so he's friends
with Sick.
Yeah. He was there. I was felt like such a loser because I was like, oh, it's the guy who was in House, because I'd never seen Harold and Kumar, whatever. Uh-huh. My boyfriend was giving me so much shit. He was like, who knows Cal Penn from House? Like,
I would never. That's funny.
And then my dad and I had a really nice conversation with Kenny Albert, who
the nicest man in the world.
Wait, he was awesome. Yeah, I had no idea. He was so cool. He's plugging his book. So he's going to send me a copy of his book that I'm going to read. But we had like a 15-minute conversation and he was awesome. So he is my vote for maybe when Sam retires, getting that seat.
Is it weird hearing his voice in person for the first time? I always like
a little bit wild, right? A little bit. I was hoping, Sam would show, but he wasn't there. And I think because obviously it's off season and a lot of the Rangers don't live in New York in the off season, none of them were there, which I was definitely a little
sad.
I know, and felt a little bit, you know, odd after how the season ended. I would have loved to, you know, meet someone, but
maybe in the future. What'd you say?
I said Truba's presence was large enough himself. I feel
like. Yeah, and now you guys are probably friends.
Exactly. I know he followed me on Instagram.
He did?
So yeah, on his art.
That's awesome.
On his art account. So I thought that was awesome. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to my dad and him can continue to work together in the future.
Well, are there any plans going forward of maybe more athletes that you'll work with or your dad will work with?
So my dad historically has worked with a lot of athletes who collect art. So a lot of NBA players and NFL players are actually big art collectors themselves. But it's more rare that you'll see a professional athlete be an artist. I can't think of any others who kind of make art at the scale that Truba makes art. I don't know, Johnny, if you're familiar with any sports professional athletes, artists.
I don't know if this is technically art, it's more clothing, but I don't know how to pronounce the last name, but the wife of that 49ers player who makes clothes.
Oh my God. It's like starts with a K.
It's
super cool.
Yeah. Those are so sick. I want to like buy one.
Those are great. But you know, I hope that this opens up more opportunities for the gallery to collaborate with artists, whether that be, you know, artists who are curious about collecting art, you know, art holds real value. I know in the finance space a lot we talk about private investments, illiquid assets. Art is a great illiquid asset that, you know, you can hang on your wall and enjoy. There's art behind me in my house.
I was gonna say, you got a lot of nice ones behind you.
Yeah. but I think, you know, I hope we can continue to work with Jacob in the future. And, you know, I know he's thinking about building an art collection for himself and his family. So, you know, I'm sure he'll think of our gallery and other great galleries to buy from.
Bringing this all in together, you know, you're talking to Jacob, you're talking to the Rangers. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into an event like this. Communicating, making this come to life, is there anything or any way you can relate it to what you would think would be running a professional hockey team?
My dad actually gave this analogy, and I think it's important to bring up because I don't think folks think about the synergy between an art gallery and a major sports team. But I actually think they're really similar in the sense that the gallery head, or in this case, my dad, and, you know, someone like the coach of the Rangers, right? You're a coach, you're running an entire team. when you decide to show with the gallery, you're kind of committed to that gallery in the way that when you sign with a hockey team, you're committed to the roster, right? Jacob Trouba has this $8 million contract with the Rangers.
Yeah.
He's on the team. And folks.
But does the gallery come with Twitter haters too?
You know, probably a little bit less publicly than, you know, sports players get hate, but definitely some. Mm-hmm. And folks leave galleries. They switch from one gallery to another gallery. And when they do that, you know, my dad was saying it's kind of like free agency, yeah. right? The ability to go from one major gallery to another major gallery to work with a different set, you know, a different general manager, a different coach, et cetera. And I just think that there are a lot of synergies between kind of how the commercial aspect of sports and art function in a way that, you know, maybe most people don't think of. Mm-hmm. So I just think that that's kind of an interesting way to wrap us up.
Yeah, we need more loyalty, I guess, in the art community, right? With the
yes, no
artists, waters. Yeah.
Yes, artists jump ship. I mean,
more long term cool
opportunity.
Yeah. But Sarah, seriously, thank you so much for doing this. It was awesome, you know, reading and seeing everything. There was a great article, and I want to plug actually who wrote it. It was the NHLPA by Chris Lamon, I believe is how you say his last name. You were in the article, your dad was in the article, you know, all about this gallery and this event and everything that went into it. So if people want to read that, go check it out. And where is the gallery? Where is it located? Just to plug.
Yeah. So the gallery has a few locations. So the show that Trouba was in was at the gallery in Chelsea. So the address is 512 West 22nd Street. So on 22nd and 10th Avenue. There are actually two galleries on that street and a bookstore. So it's kind of Harper's Row.
Okay.
And then if you find yourself in the Hamptons, there's a gallery on Main Street in East Hampton. And if in Los Angeles, there's a gallery in West Hollywood.
Awesome. All right. Any final thoughts before we let you go here?
Let's go Rangers.
I love it. All right. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll talk to you. We have no idea when, but soon, hopefully.